Hello, and welcome to Nonfiction Friends, where truth is stranger than fiction. I am your host, Josh.
And I'm Rebecca.
And Rebecca's here, but she's a ghost.
Ooh.
That would be very in character.
Yeah.
This week, we are talking about women animators.
Yes. That worked for Disney.
That worked for Disney.
Specifically.
Because we have those books.
We do have those books.
Yeah. So I thought we'd start talking about, you know, some of our favorite visually inspiring Disney movies.
Disney nostalgia.
Do you remember your first Disney movie that you saw?
Like in theaters?
Sure.
I think the first one I can remember is The Lion King.
Oh, you know what?
Because I'm significantly older than you.
Not significantly.
Enough. I'm old enough. Where that's like old school.
I have no idea what my first Disney movie was. It's a toss-up between like three, now that you said Lion King. I don't know if it's Lion King, Toy Story, or Cinderella. Cinderella, I did. I mean, I probably saw it, like, you know, someone had it. Like, I saw it at someone's house.
Yeah. I vividly remember watching Cinderella in my own home because I loved Lucifer, the cat.
Ah.
So I would watch those parts over and over again.
Weird. I can't remember. It's so long ago. I did watch a lot of Disney movies when I was a kid. I remember watching them over and over and over again.
Yeah, me too.
I think Toy Story really stuck with me for a long time.
Ew.
It's beautiful.
No.
Yes, it is. The thought that my toys could come to life when I'm not looking.
Well, I had already started treating my toys like they were, like, all of my soft toys, I would, like, address them like they were real, and I would give them like human emotions. Like, I would feel bad. I had a rotation of ones that lived on my bed, and I would,
oh, you did that too.
I would like apologize to the ones that I took off my bed, like, I still love you, but this one's gonna come on my bed now.
I would rotate the ones that got to sleep with me, like, but otherwise they had what I called like stuffed animal mountain in the,
yes,
corner of my room.
Yeah.
Where I had all of my stuffed animals. So I would rotate them out, I don't know, like every week or so, and sleep with a different one.
Aw.
I didn't want them to feel lonely.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't want one of them to hate me specifically.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. My, like, do you remember Labyrinth when all of the monsters are in her closet and while she's, like, going to say the Goblin King?
Yes.
Like, I had a huge closet full of stuffed animals, and I would go in there and I would just sit amongst them to give them all love because I felt bad. But I remember being obsessed with Aladdin. Like, I was obsessed.
I don't think Aladdin really stuck with me that much. I like the movie, but I don't remember. Like, I like it more now as an adult, but I didn't really, I don't know. I didn't really connect with it as a kid.
See, I don't like it as much now. I still love The Lion King, but I fast forward past Mufasa.
One of my least favorite was, I think, Hunchback.
I loved Hunchback.
It's one of my wife's favorite too, but like I I don't know, it's just like it wasn't compelling enough for me. It wasn't like, I don't know.
The idea of a woman getting her freedom.
Yeah. That specifically. No, I just didn't, like, how am I supposed to relate to
a horribly disfigured man in a tower, or a woman who is, like, confined to her station. You
granted,
can't relate.
I cosplayed as Esmeralda.
That's cute. I don't think I've cosplayed as a Disney character. Other than Marvel. I mean, I've done, like, the... I've done Disney bounding.
I've done Aladdin. I've done... Did I do Prince Eric? Yes. And
that sounds,
Esmeralda.
That sounds on brand for you.
Yes.
Prince Eric. And then, I mean, you've done performances in the library of Disney songs.
No one needs to know about that.
I specifically remember a book cart and hearing A Whole New World coming from some mysterious source.
This wasn't me. And we weren't open. So
it might not have been. It was somebody with long hair.
The public, well, wigs are great, you know. But no one needs to know about that.
Who was your, like, do you have a specific character that was your favorite when you were growing up?
I don't think so. I can't really, No.
I don't think I did either. Other than, I mean, like Lucifer. All cats, really.
All cats.
I loved the Aristocats and I loved the Lion King. So basically, I was more of an animal person than a princess person. I was never really into princesses.
I'm sure if my dad was here, he would know, but I don't know. I did have a stuffed Simba.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had that with me all the time. I remember that. Boy, I'm like pulling from memories I didn't realize.
Right.
I had.
This is like a therapy session. Yeah. Disney therapy.
Do you have any like movies, either recent or old, that like the animations particularly stuck out to you, or like, you know, that you thought was like particularly amazing?
I remember when The Princess and the Frog came out, I was really stoked for them to go back to that like princess, like OG princess cartooning.
Yeah.
Like Little Mermaid era.
Yeah.
Princess and the Frog is probably one of my top three favorite Disney movies. Definitely my favorite princess movie.
Has really good songs in it too.
And I hate Snow White.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know anyone that actually likes Snow White.
I mean, I know people who like Snow White as a princess, but I'm not sure if they like the movie the best.
I think watching it, like, I fall asleep watching it.
I just can't stand the characters. I can't stand Snow White's voice. I can't stand the Seven Dwarves. And I am terrified of the witch as a hag. She's scary.
Just offering up apples.
That part in the ride, you remember when she like pops out? That was terrifying.
Okay. Are you talking about the ride in Disneyland?
Well, it used to be in Disney World.
Right.
The Scary Adventures of Snow White or something like that.
That ride is terrifying.
It's scary.
I rode it for the first time when I went to California last year. Yeah, last year. And oh my gosh, that ride is.
Bonkers.
As a kid, I would be scared.
Yeah.
It is a not a friendly ride.
Kind of like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
That one too.
Where you like die.
Yeah. I was like, like the whole time I was like, I look over to Jesse who was sitting there. I was like, did we just die? What happened?
Yeah. That one's a cute ride. Like I like those OG rides, but they're.
I was like, do you grasp that as a kid? Like
trippy.
I don't know if.
Think so, because I don't remember it. And then I did the same thing when I wrote it as an adult. I was like, oh my gosh, we totally died and like went to purgatory.
Yeah.
good times.
Good times. In terms of movies, I think while I don't like Hunchback, I particularly remember the animation being very good,
like the scenery.
Yeah. And like just like Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And
I can't believe you don't like that movie. I loved that movie.
I just don't like
it. I had the plates and I had a stuffed the goat. I had a stuffed version of that.
What's the goat's
name? I think I even had an Esmeralda doll, and I like never had dolls.
I never had dolls either.
That's a shame.
It is a shame.
There should be equal opportunity doll play.
Whenever I look at an animated movie, I always think if it has water, I'm always like fascinated. It's like, well, how did they animate the water?
Yeah.
Like, and then when you think about like Moana, like in particular,
love Moana.
Like that has to do all with water.
Yeah.
Like, it's very beautiful.
Yeah.
I can't. How about any like rides? Like we talked about Snow White and you know, Mr.
Like what's
Toast
my favorite ride?
Like yeah.
That's like movie related.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. I don't know, but I'm really excited about them making a Princess and the Frog ride.
Yes.
Because I think
I do.
That's gonna be amazing.
I'm very excited for that.
I can't even think of any like, what movie rides are there, besides Snow White?
Any movie related rides?
I don't know. I mean, does Guardians of the Galaxy count? Because that ride is awesome.
Didn't ride
the one
it.
In Disneyland. The
didn't ride it.
The Tower of Terror makeover that was awesome. I think that's like my favorite ride, like ever.
I want to do the Tron ride so bad.
I know, I do too. I'm so excited for that. I think there's some exciting things coming to the parks with the Guardians of the Galaxy and Epcot and Tron and the Princess and the Frog makeover.
Do you like the Peter Pan ride?
No.
Why?
I don't like Peter Pan. I mean, it's cute enough when you're like flying over London. That part's cute. It's like a nice ride to escape, but the line is always so long that I'm like,
okay, well, lines aside, like, you don't have to.
I have never gone out of my way to go on it, and if I'm with someone who's like, yeah, I want to go on that, I'm like, ah, man. Winnie the Pooh, I like that ride. When you're bouncing like Tigger, that's cracks me up,
I guess. Sure. Lilo and Stitch.
No.
Stitch's Great Escape.
Nope. I will forever. It was the Alien ride, and I loved it.
When I rode the Alien ride, no, absolutely not. I was terrified the entire time.
I loved it.
I was so scared.
Thinking back on my Disney experiences, I'm starting to connect the dots between, like, my love of scary monsters then and, like, my aesthetic now. I get it.
It made you who you are.
Yeah. I get it now, because I loved, like, the Twilight Zone, and I loved the Chernabog from Fantasia, and I loved Lucifer the Cat, and I loved the, what's her name? Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty. Wow. This is like a Disney therapy session.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
So, we're going to move into talking about our animators that we had researched.
Back on topic.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of the Chernabog from Fantasia, the woman animator from Walt Disney World, well, not Walt Disney World, but World, what's it called? Disney Studios or whatever? Back in the day? Disney, yeah. Walt Disney Studios, I think is what it was called. The lady that I chose to highlight is Millicent Patrick, who was one of the first animators at the Walt Disney World Studios. Female. Well, one of the first female animators. She was an actress, a makeup artist, a special effects designer, and an animator. Her full name is Mildred Elizabeth Fulviati de Rossi.
That's the name.
But the problem with Millicent Patrick is that she went through so many like rebrandings of herself and like exaggerated her past history to get ahead in her industry that her past is kind of like digging through old names and stuff. So very interesting to research. But anyway, let's see. She was born in November 1915 in El Paso, Texas. She grew up very conservative her father dominated the family and kept everybody conservative. She wasn't allowed to have any friends. She wasn't allowed to dress in any, like, even remotely revealing way. So when she branched out and went to school, she kind of started this self-discovery of herself. She was given 3 scholarships to the Chouinard Art Institute. There we go again with our mispronunciations. Do you know it? Chouinard?
Well, I...
Yeah, well, that makes sense, because the Chouinard Institute, which was also started by a woman, Nelbert Chouinard. Walt Disney was a huge fan of hers and actually sent a lot of his animators to study there and hired a lot of women from there as well. He recruited Millicent in 1939 to work in the ink and paint department. Eventually, like I said, she ended up becoming one of the first female animators working on Fantasia, creating the famous Chernabog from A Night on Bald Mountain. She also did another scene from the Toccata and Fugue scene. Then she worked on Dumbo before leaving in 1941. After that, she did some modeling, some acting, some generic like stuff you do in Los Angeles when you're pretty. As well as doing some sketching on the side. In 1952, she became the first woman to work in special effects and makeup department at Universal Studios, where she helped create characters from It Came from Outer Space to Abbott and Costello Meets Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. She's most famous, though, for creating the head of the creature from the Black Lagoon in 1953. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, a classic. Unfortunately, she never got credit because at the time only the department heads got credit for on film.
Of course.
Yeah. And, you know, she's a woman.
Yep.
Unfortunately, when she was on a promo tour for the film, her boss, Bud Westmore, got jealous of the attention and forced her to relinquish all credit to him. She Whoa. Was, yeah, right? He got jealous. Can you believe it? Like, ridiculous. She was originally supposed to be billed on the promo tour as the beauty who created the beast, but he changed it to the beauty who lives with the beast. And then when she got back from the promo tour, he promptly fired her. And she never worked behind the scenes in Hollywood again. After that, she lived her days as a Los Angeles socialite, doing occasional sketches, and she died in 1998. Most of my information came from a wonderful book that I'm currently reading. Let me find it here. I think it's called The Lady from the Black Lagoon. Yeah, by Mallory O'Meara. I'm listening to the audiobook, which is narrated by the author, Mallory O'Meara, and cool. It's really good. Like I said, there's a lot of kind of unknown information about Millicent Patrick, and Mallory O'Meara does a really great job of doing a lot of research, and she sort of interweaves her own personal life and journey at the time of learning about Millicent, and she also speaks on the prejudice against women in the movie industry, which is nice to listen to, but also very frustrating.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Are you?
That's it. All? That's it.
All right.
Your turn.
It is my turn. I will be talking about the famous Mary Blair.
Mary Blair.
She was born Mary Brown Robinson, October 21st, 1911, in McAllister, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Yeah. She graduated from the Chouinard Art Institute.
Yeah, we're. Chouinard.
You're seeing a pattern here.
Yeah.
This place is very famous. Mm-hmm. In 1933, she also became a member of the California School of Watercolor. She's most known for being an imaginative colorist and designer. Most of her designs, you'll see lots of color. She originally started working for Walt Disney Studios in 1940. Her job then was to create preliminary sketches to guide the look and feel of their animated films at the time. She had to present her work to the quote nine old men.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because all the female staff member in the ink and paint department were kept separate.
Yeah. Of Walt Disney Studios, most of her designs were rejected. Which caused her to leave.
Yeah.
But during her time there, she did make a friend. You might know him as Walt Disney.
I think I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
Who loved her work and actually invited her to join the El Grupo, which was a group of Disney illustrators that sketched in South Africa as part of the U.S. Goodwill Tour. When she returned, she rejoined Disney Studios as an art director.
Wow.
From there, her abstract and colorful designs were featured, you know, in films such as Cinderella, Alice in Wonderland, and Peter Pan. In 1953, she left the studio again to become an in-demand commercial artist, Broadway set designer, and picture book illustrator.
Yeah.
Her little golden book, I Can Fly, by Ruth Krauss, is still in print today.
That's awesome.
In 1964, Walt called her back to help create It's a Small World for the World's Fair.
It's a small world.
So if you really want to see, like, Mary Blair's, you know,
work,
whole
like iconic work.
Iconic work, you know, go write It's a Small World.
It's a small world.
That has her written all over it. People that have worked with her actually state that... she wasn't a fan of mixing colors. Right. She liked to use every color.
Every color.
And then in 2014, the Walt Disney Family Museum hosted their first retrospective of her work.
Cool.
So, yeah, she has her work all over Disney.
Yeah, iconically, some of the things that are Disney icons are her work. Did you know her favorite color?
No.
Her favorite color was white because it was full of possibilities.
That's cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have, there is a fashion line that features some of her artwork. And I have a skirt that has her.
Me too.
So these women are featured in a really cool book that we have called The Queens of Animation, The Untold Story of the Women Who Transformed the World of Disney and Made Cinematic History. It's actually in two different sections. You can find the large print version in 791.433. And then you can find the regular version in 384.809. It's a big book.
This is a big book.
It has a timeline in there, which is really cool. And then it has a picture of each of the women that were the first actual animators.
The book where I pulled most of my information from is called Pocket Full of Colors, The Magical World of Mary Blair, Disney Artist Extraordinaire. It's actually a biography in the juvenile fiction section. I mean the juvenile, nonfiction section.
Yeah. We have quite a few books, especially in the juvenile nonfiction section, that are absolutely beautiful. The illustrations are gorgeous. So definitely check those out. We've got Mary Blair, The Girl Who Loved Color by Amy Nevesky, which is in the juvenile bio section under BLA, but it's also on Cloud Library and Hoopla Digital. And then there's Pencils, Pens, and Brushes by Mindy Johnson, which is in the nonfiction section under 741, but also again on Hoopla Digital and Cloud Library. So lots of stuff. If you search for Mary Blair in the catalog, lots of stuff comes up. But
For sure. I think I like your book just because I like timelines and stuff.
Yeah, I love timelines. It's got a timeline of when each animator was hired and when each of the classic Disney animated movies comes out.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, moving on to things that are going on at the library. We have a very interesting video series coming soon to your home on the YouTube.
The YouTubes.
Yeah. Rebecca, do you want to tell us about it?
Sure. Well, you guys may have remembered that I'm now part of a section of the library in Hart Memorial called Tech Central. Mm. Unfortunately, right now we are closed to the public because of COVID-19.
But you are still doing 3D prints.
But we still are doing 3D printing on demand. You can find that on our website, osceolalibrary.org/3Dprintingondemand. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be coming out with tech tips from Tech Central on Thursdays. So look for those to start soon. We're going to be doing things like sewing and photography tips. We're going to be doing video editing, Photoshop. And the very first one that's going to come out soon is going to be how to submit a 3D print for us to print for you.
Oh, man. I think people are going to you're going to get a lot of requests.
Yes. Yeah, the video is going to go over like Tinkercad, how to edit something, and then how to submit your STL file on our website, and then what happens after that.
Yeah, so if you ever wanted 3D printing, you know, now's the time.
Yeah.
3D printers are expensive, but, you know, we got you covered.
Yeah, I mean, we have some limitations, but...
no limitations. We can print anything.
We can't print, like, you know, limbs.
Dang it.
Or full-size replicas of the Millennium Falcon or anything like that. But you can find all the information of what we can print on our website.
Yes. Have you currently read it? I don't...
Words?
Sure. Words. See, it shows how much I've been reading lately, because maybe I haven't been. Are you reading anything?
Are you asking me what I'm reading currently?
Yeah. The books. Reading. That thing.
I'm listening to the audiobook of The Lady from the Black Lagoon. And like I said, it's choice.
How long is it?
It's about 9 hours, I think. Ooh. You can find it on Cloud Library, Hoopla Digital, or you can read the actual book. We have it in the large print section under biography PAT for Millicent Patrick. What are you reading or not reading?
I did finish a book recently, an actual book. It was a memoir.
Congrats. A memoir.
Yes. It's called The Fire Never Goes Out, a memoir in pictures by Noelle Stevenson.
Oh, so it's like a graphic novel memoir.
Okay. You know what?
I was surprised. It's the only kind of memoir
that I'll read, probably. From Noelle Stevenson, the New York Times bestselling author and illustrator of Nimona, comes a captivating, honest, illustrated memoir that finds her turning point, an important corner in her creative journey, and inviting readers along for the ride. It's a collection of essays and personal mini-comics that span 8 years of her young adult life. I wanted to read this specifically. I love most of her work that she does, and she's done some artwork for some of my favorite books, such as Fangirl, and she's also the showrunner for She-Ra.
She-Ra, yeah, that's awesome.
Which I also love.
Yeah.
So I finished this in 2 days.
Nice.
Yeah,
So it was good.
Yeah, I really connected with it. I liked it a lot. We just got it in. Like, it just came in. I know there is a little wait because a couple people have it on hold, but check it out if you want to read it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be it for us.
That's going to be it for us.
Let's go watch a Disney movie.
Let's go watch Fantasia again. That was a nice trip down memory lane.
Yeah. I think I like it's a good music to fall asleep to.
It's just a very nice background movie.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, just remember, we love our listeners.
And that's nonfiction, friends.